Good morning. We're going to continue our series going through Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. We completed our review of Joshua a few weeks ago, and then we've been going through Judges chapter by chapter. I keep thinking I'm going to skip some of the chapters, but we haven't yet. We keep going, and today we're going to read Judges 13 through 16, which covers the remarkable record of Samson. Each one of the judges in the book of Judges has unique qualities, but Samson is very unique. Nobody quite like him. He obviously had tremendous physical strength. I'm sure that was part of him just physically, but he also, when the Spirit of God came upon him, he put that physical strength to awesome use. As we'll read as we get into it, he judged Israel for 20 years. He was able to protect them from the Philistines. A lot of the details about how he did that aren't covered. The main things that are covered in here in the book of Judges are his personal life, which was quite remarkable. He had tremendous challenges with the Philistines, obviously, with the women he loved, with the families of the women he loved, with his own parents, yet he walked mightily and powerfully for God and judged and delivered Israel. So he's a remarkable fellow, but I'm just so glad there are these people in the Bible, because you talk to some Christians and they think they have this cookie cutter idea of what a Christian's supposed to be. Yet if we look at the people who walked with God through the centuries, they're all very, very different, and God worked with them. So rather than being mad at ourselves or mad at somebody else because they don't fit into our preconceived idea of what a believer should be like, I think it's much smarter to just pray for everybody and encourage people to trust God and walk with God where they are and who they are. Samson was like nobody I've ever met, but neither was Gideon like anybody I've ever met. So you go on and on. Everybody's unique. Everybody's different. Yet when they trust God and walk with the Spirit of God, they can do great things for God and to help God's people. So let's get into Judges chapter 13 and enjoy learning about Samuel. Here in Judges 13, no surprise, verse 1, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. And of course, this is the pattern we see throughout the book of Judges, where the Israelites turn away from God, a foreign power comes in and basically enslaves them or controls them, and then finally they cry unto God for help, and God raises up a judge, and that judge chases the invaders out. So we have a similar situation, but again, this one's unique and a little different than the others, but it's still God working to protect his people by putting his Spirit on a person who will then walk with God and chase out the invaders. So, verse 2, "There was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites." They were way up north. They were in what we would probably call Lebanon today, or near Lebanon, way up north. "Certain man of the Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not." So Manoah had no children. Verse 3, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God." And if you're interested in reading about Nazarites, you can read about it in Numbers 6. It talks about the vow of a Nazarite. We're familiar with like monastic orders where they have certain rules, how they dress, what they can eat and drink. Well, I think the closest thing to a, quote, monastic order of monks or nuns in the Bible would be the vow of a Nazarite. You couldn't shave your head, you couldn't eat strong drink. And I don't know why God set it up, but he did. And it explains it in there, as I said, in Numbers chapter 6. It talks about a vow of a Nazarite. And the angel told Manoah's wife that this child who would be born unto her would be a Nazarite. And in order to carry out the vows and operate the power of God and walk with God, he couldn't cut his hair and he couldn't have strong drink. Those were two of the requirements, and you can read more about it in Number 6 if you want. Verse 5 again. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. It was sort of scary. But I asked him not whence he came, was, neither told me his name. Told he me his name. But he said, this is what that angel, that man of God said, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death, his entire life. Verse 8, then Manoah entreated the Lord. He prayed, he asked God, and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. He wasn't fighting God, he just wanted a little more information. Verse 9, and God hearkened, he listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came to unto me the other day. That guy that came last the other day, he's back. Verse 11, and Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, verse 12, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord, verse 13, said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. We want to, you know, make you... get you a leg of lamb or some goat meat. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread, and if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. He looked like a man, didn't realize he was an angel. Verse 17, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou after my name, seeing it's a secret? So Manoah took a kid, baby goat, with a meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel of the Lord did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. Imagine that? You know, you turn on the barbecue out back, and you're cooking up some steaks or burgers or chicken or something, and your guest just sort of floats up with the smoke from the grill into the sky. Well, that's what the angel did, and Manoah and his wife were pretty impressed. Verse 20. Yes, oh, we saw that. Verse 20 again. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah, he's a real positive guy. You sort of see why God sent the angel to the wife instead of him. But the angel of the Lord did no more. Oh, we saw that. Verse 22, and Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we've seen God. But his wife, she was the practical one. His wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things. Nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. Say, come on, guy. If he wanted to kill us, he could have done a long time ago. Verse 24, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So the Spirit of God began to work within him. He began to operate the power of God. Verse 14, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at this time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So the Lord had this planned. He needed a good reason to start a fight with the Philistines, to seek an occasion, and he was making use of the fact that Samson liked this Philistine girl. So that was what was behind it. Verse 5, Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And that's what happens when you get the Spirit of God. It literally is superhuman strength. It's above human. I have not attacked a lion like that, but there was a time I was in the Wake Corps, they set us out rock climbing in New Mexico, a program called LEAD. And I was at this place where I was literally hanging by my fingertips over this ledge. And I tried and tried to get up, you know, get up over the ledge, but I was just too worn out and didn't have the strength to pull myself up. So I prayed and I tried it one more time, and that time it took about as much strength as it takes to pull a tissue out of a box. I just pulled and plop, there I was on top of the ledge. So we all have the Spirit of God, and this can happen to any of us. But he happened to be confronted with a lion. He was sent there by God, and this is all part of the record. So, verse 8. After a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. So he killed the lion, went in to see the Philistine woman, and after a while, he went back. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, verse 11, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. So the Philistine said, okay, you're marrying one of our girls. These 30 guys are going to hang out with you until the wedding or some such thing. Verse 12, And Samson said unto them, I will not put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it within 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garment. I'll give you 30 sheets or 30 linen garments and 30 changes of garments. But if you cannot declare it me, then you shall give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, Put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. And he said unto them, verse 14, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that what we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him, and said, Thou dost but hate me, and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, Behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days, while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, What is sweeter than honey? And he said unto them, If you not plowed with my heifer, you had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he went down to Ashkelon, another Philistine city, and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. So this, again, is what God wanted. God wanted to start a fight with the Philistines so Samson could win it and deliver the Israelites. But not everybody knew that. I'm not even sure Samson knew it. He just did as he felt he needed to do, and as the Spirit of God led him. Verse 15. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, I will go in to my wife, into the chamber. But her father would not suffer or allow him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now I shall be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. So he felt rightly that the Philistines had wronged him with the riddle. Now they had wronged him again by taking his wife away. And Samson went, verse 4, and caught 300 foxes, and took firebrands, and turned tail to tail, and put the firebrands in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks, and also the standing corn, with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistines said, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son of Law, and Law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. They didn't do very well by betraying Samson. Verse 7, And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock of Edom. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah, and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, Why are you come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock of Edom, and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so have I done unto them. Verse 12, And they said unto him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast, and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords, two new pieces of rope, and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Boy, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, not only did the Spirit of the Lord come upon him, but he obviously operated the power of God also. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. Did you ever see a piece of rope or string that had been burned and it was just ash? No strength at all? Well, that's what that was like. Became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. See, when you have the Spirit of God, you don't always need the best weapons. He only had the jawbone of an ass, but that was enough to kill 1,000 men. Verse 17, It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called the place Ramath Lehi. Let's see if what that means here. See if I have a note. Oh, Jawbone Heights. He called it Jawbone Heights, or the Hill of the Jawbone. Verse 18, And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die of thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? Verse 19, But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En-Hak-Koreh. See what that means. Spring of the caller. It's the place he called on the Lord. So it's the spring of the one who calls on the Lord. He called the name thereof Spring of the Caller, which is in Lehi unto this day, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. So for 20 years he walked with God and protected the Israelites from the Philistines. So that's quite something. Verse 16, Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come thither, and they compassed him in and laid wait for him. So Gaza is one of the Philistine cities. You may have heard of a section of that coast called the Gaza Strip. That's now part of the land of what's called the Palestine, which is, Palestine comes from Philistine. So it's the same area, still under the control of the Palestinians, who used to be called Philistines. At any rate, and it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, verse 2, and they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it's day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts. Can you imagine that? I mean, you've seen pictures of ancient medieval cities with big walls and posts and a big gate. Well, he just picked up this massive gate, perhaps wood, perhaps stone, perhaps both. He just picked it up, and he ran up the hill and put it there opposite the city. So verse 3 again. Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Oh, if we had a soundtrack on this teaching, it would go, da-da-da-dum, go to a minor key. Delilah, this is what, the third or fourth woman he's been with in these records, and Delilah is going to be his undoing. So, it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Verse 5, and the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth. Because Samson was just beating the heck out of him, no matter where he was, no matter what was going on. And they couldn't figure out why he was so powerful. So they said, find out why he's so powerful. So again, verse 5, the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, entice him, and see where his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money. And Delilah said to Samson, verse 6, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. That's a funny thing to ask your boyfriend. You know, how can I tie you up and harass you? Make your life difficult. I want to bind you and afflict you. How do I do that? And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes as a thread of tow is broken when thou touchest the fire. Or just a thread of yarn. It's just like if you took some yarn in the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. And he should have said, yeah, but you tied me up and invited the Philistines in to kill me. But he didn't. He didn't. He really liked her. So verse 10, Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, verse 11, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. Verse 13, Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he waked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, verse 15, how canst thou say thou love me when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Have you ever heard the term red flags? You see something going on and it doesn't look right, but you ignore it? Well, he had a lot of red flags. The smart thing would have been walk out of there and realize this woman is not on his side. But I guess he really liked her, so he kept putting up with it. Well, verse 16, it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and the strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not, he knew not that the Lord was departed from him, because the vow of the Nazarites had been broken by his head being shaved. He no longer had the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad that in the age of grace, we're born again of incorruptible seed? Because we all do silly things, sometimes simple things, sometimes really silly things, but we never lose the Spirit of God. But in that time, the Spirit of God could come and go, depending on whether you carried out the will of the Lord. And by having his head shaved, even though he didn't do it, he still had been shaved, so he lost the Spirit of God. Verse 21, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him unto Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. So he was there grinding, perhaps in some kind of treadmill or roundabout grinder, but he was working to grind grain for them. Verse 22, howbeit, nevertheless, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. No, it wasn't your God. It was the fact that he really liked that girl, and he ignored the red flags and told her his weakness. So they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Verse 24, and when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. Verse 25, and it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer, allow me that I may feel the pillars whereon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes. And Samson took hold of the 2 middle pillars upon which the house stood, because remember, his hair was growing back, so strength came back. So, verse 29, Samson took hold of the 2 middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. Isn't that a remarkable record? Remarkable times with the Philistines controlling them. Remarkable fellow Samson. He had many passions, much anger, much interest in various Philistine women. Yet God worked with that, and God used all that. And he didn't use Samson in the sense that he controlled him, but he put the Spirit of God on Samson and worked with him with all of his, you could call them strengths or shortcomings, depending on how you want to look at it. But Samson had abilities and desires and proclivities, And God was able to make use of those, and Samson was willing to do what God worked within his heart, and he judged Israel for 20 years. And the Philistines were still around, but he was able to kill many of them and really blunt the control they had over the Israelites for 20 years. Amazing stuff. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for wonderful men like Samson, who walked with God, a very unique fellow, but he walked with you and brought deliverance to your people for 20 years. And may we also see that you will work with us right where we are. And we don't have to be anybody different. We simply have to look to you and trust you and listen to your guidance and pray and ask for your help and walk with you. And in ways that you open doors for us, we can bless God's people and we can enjoy life and look forward to the great return of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray for my mother, Marion Mahone, that these last days of her life, however many they may be peaceful and pain-free, and that she can go to her rest, and we'll see her again at the return of your Son. Thank you for this and your wonderful, wonderful love to us in every way. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.